she comes back. Okay. Ready. That was a very disappointing sound in the gavel, but I'll call our meeting to order, the Oregon 529 Savings Board meeting. It is Thursday, and we are ready to go. I've got, I was confused there because I was looking at the agenda, but it's actually the agenda of the last meeting whose minutes we're going to approve in a minute here. So it's not 2023 anymore. So thanks everyone for being here. Ms. Geller's on the screen. We've got the technology figured out. The other important thing to do before we take on the agenda is welcome Brett Turner with us. He's in kind of a hybrid mode, just like the meeting is today, because we've begun the process of appointing him to join us, but the paperwork is not entirely complete yet. So you're sort of honorary for today, if that works. Although we'd welcome your participation. And we'll be ready for you officially and voting and everything else in the next meeting. But if you wouldn't mind just taking a moment or two to introduce yourself, I know everybody in the room and on the screen would love to know you a little bit better.
Great, thank you. My name is Brett Turner. I am a strong advocate for a strong advocate for ABLE accounts. Certainly have some basic understanding of the 529, but my passion really is about ABLE accounts. I've spent my entire career, which is over three decades long, of working with people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. I'm currently serving as the CEO of an organization called Advocates for Life Skills and Opportunity. I've been in that organization for 21 years, 19 of that of being their CEO. And we support and serve nine counties. We're headquartered in the Portland area, but serve nine counties throughout Oregon in all kinds of different environments and frontier and small communities, as well as obviously the Portland area where we're headquartered. So bring that kind of understanding and perspective of the population of the people our organization supports. So anyway, that's just a little bit about me and what my passion is about being here today.
Glad you're here. You're going to add a lot to our understanding too, and how we can make ABLE accounts more effective and connect with more people. So thanks for being willing to be part of it. Please be a full participant today. I don't think other than approving our minutes, I don't think we have any other action items today. So you should not hold back as you want to ask questions and be part of it as well. Right, so that's great. With that, the first item is the approval of our minutes from November 9th, 2023. I've had a chance to look at them, and they meet with my approval. Any other corrections or anything that we need to do? Looking up, I don't see any. Is there a motion?
I would make a motion to approve the minutes.
Ms. Olson moves to approve the minutes from 2023. Is there a second?
I will second them.
Thank you, Ms. Geller. Seconds. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none. Put on here, make a motion carries, and we'll move forward to the executive director's report. Mr. Mann.
Update the share, five of which are reflected in the numbers you see on screen. I promise it won't take too long, 10 minutes about. For someone to address the galactic photo on the screen. The composite photograph that was taken on a dark energy camera attached to a telescope period just released last month, and I think it's mesmerizing to look at, so I figured you could at least stare at that while you have to listen to me talk. But I actually picked it because, as luck would have it, that photo contains 3 billion stars, which is just incredible. It's thought to be maybe the most celestial material captured in this photograph. And while it is mesmerizing to share at, to stare at, the reason I picked it is because it is relevant today as well, because that's how much money is currently invested in the Drexel Oregon College Savings Plan. So we passed the $3 billion threshold earlier this month, and across numbers that big, it feels positively considered the meaning of that. And I know, at least for myself, and I think for our whole team, more important than that number is the people we're reaching, and especially people who otherwise wouldn't have access to college or post-secondary education, our assistance navigating abilities and restrictions associated with those programs. So that remains our focus, but I did want to stop and pause on the rebellion and specifically acknowledge the staff and the boards who come before us that have this program such a mature place.
And in that pause, I just got a word that you're a little hard to hear on the interweb. So if you can move your microphone a little closer, that'd be great. Thank you.
My usual mic.
You got to project. People want to hear you.
Should have done my pregame music. We talked about.
Yeah.
I didn't get amped enough. How am I sounding now? Check that before I. Okay. Sounds like it's better. I apologize for that. Maybe it's for the best, Ms. Geller. I was pontificating about stars and their connection to our program. And just to run this sort of metaphor all the way to the ground, I'll just end that note by saying we will continue to reach for the stars as we build a program and welcome more. And so just leave that photo up there because it is nice to look at. But now you're probably wondering what the other numbers are about. Although the last thing I wanted to say on that is, as amazing as this photo is, currently it's 6.5% of the night sky. So there's that many more stars that we don't have photographs of, and also that many more people that we can go out there and reach. So with that, I will. Next number is related to a publication that came out this month from Oregon State Treasury and the Financial Empowerment Advisory Team. Which is the 2024 Oregon Financial Wellness Scorecard. The scorecard contains statistics in 53 categories. So there's our number two. And those come from 16 sources, everything from the US Census, the Federal Reserve, to Oregon DOJ. The scorecard also includes data for the first time from a personal finance survey Oregon conducted back in October by the nonprofit Oregon Values and Belief Center. I mentioned this to some of you all. I haven't already emailed a copy. I'll make sure that we get a copy of that scorecard. I'll just preview it briefly for you today. But the headline takeaway from that scorecard is that Oregonians are earning more and report higher net wealth. So that's good news, but they're more likely to express difficulty paying bills, and more than half ever had a personal. Some other key findings to highlight. 30.5% of Oregonians said they could not come up with $1,000 because of a financial emergency, and a number slightly higher than the national 50%. After years of steady declines, bankruptcy filings climbed markedly in Oregon, every county last year. Percentage change was twice as high in Oregon as it was nationally, so an area of concern. And again, emphasizing that income went up, but a very dramatic budget on county race and the number of Oregon households with zero negative net wealth also increased. So the scorecard isn't all bad news. There's some areas where we're improving, and that's highlighted in the scorecard. Also highlighted in the scorecard is a big step that Oregon took last year to improve financial literacy and making personal finance graduation requirement, beginning with the 27 high school graduating class. And there are some other areas where Oregon performs well. But, you know, I think as we do our work, it's important for us to think about where folks are struggling and how we can get them where they're at, do our work effectively. I want to thank the treasurer for convening the Financial Empowerment Advisory Team and making the financial empowerment work a big priority for us. James is in the room. James leads this work on our team and really hard to create the scorecard for a second time. So thank you, James, for that work. And again, just emphasize that while this isn't college savings or able report, it is something that I think we can all benefit from. Okay, so that was the second number. The third number, it comes from something that I consider maybe the most important work I got to do at Oregon State Treasury. It was back in 2019. We worked to create the nation's first refundable tax credit contributions to college and enable savings accounts. Credit's designed to be progressive, so that the incentive is focused on low and moderate income Oregonians, and since it's refundable, many taxpayers will have the opportunity to get their contribution back, essentially put it right back into the program, and continue savings. So again, thank the treasurer for leadership on this tax credit's creation, and specifically highlight where this number comes in. I recall a number of times the treasurer insisting that we include a eye to the consumer price index when we created the credit so that it keep up with inflation. While that's always prudent policymaking, I think, we didn't know at the time that we would experience some incredibly high inflation in the years that immediately followed the creation of the credit. So it went from originally being 150 for single filers and 300 for joint filers up to significant jump in that 1 year of inflation up to 170 and 340. And now starting in 2024, single filers will be eligible for an $80 tax credit and joint filers for tax credit. There's your 180 and 360. We're now getting a bit of just thoughtful communication because we're in the midst of tax season for 2023 and contributions in 2023. That previous number is what applies, so the 170 and 340. However, we are getting our materials prepared so that after April 15th, we can make sure people know about the higher number. That was the third figure you see. The fourth is related to an important federal policy change. Back in 2022, Congress passed a law known as Secure 2.0. Among its many provisions was a change to the law governing 529 college savings plan, and specifically a change to the qualified uses of the accounts. So before I talk about that specific change, it is a bit of background that I think won't be surprising to you all, specific to the college savings plan. And that's probably the most common question we get when we're talking to prospective account holders is, what if my kid doesn't go to college, or what if they get a scholarship, or what if I don't need to use the money for whatever reason? And that's a deterrent to saving in the first place. So while there's answers to those questions, including the ability to use the funds in a variety of training programs that many people will likely want to access, the ability to transfer to siblings, among others. The reality is it has been a headwind, the outreach team to create. So this number is January 1, 2024, because that is the date that funds and college savings accounts rolled into Roth IRA accounts subject to certain conditions. So we now have an answer on the front end to say, don't worry if you don't end up using it all, you can set up your loved one retirement. But it's also helpful on the back end because there are people, and we've already had a number of people taking advantage of this to roll funds over. Whenever possible, we like them to roll them over into Oregon Savings accounts because that's part of our program too, but they can roll them over to any Roth IRA account. Again, a certain amount of time you have to have the account open, certain provisions that have to be met, but a really important that development that just took effect last month. All right, last number on the slide. April 1 is our target go live date for a revamped Oregon College Savings Plan website. You're going to hear some more about this later. I just wanted to give a little preview because I'm really excited about it. So it's not just a aesthetic improvement to the website. It's about following the findings of an audit of the user experience so that we can improve accessibility through ADA enhancements. We can increase our translation capabilities, improve the navigability, making it easier for folks to get the information they need and get to the page where they can open an account, all while, making it look and feel similar to what people would expect. So that work is well underway, and I guess I've set it out there publicly now, the target date of April 1, so look out around that timeline for the changes are going to affect. So if you're doing a great job working on this thesis, doing outstanding work, as I said, you'll hear more of them later, but I was excited, so I wanted to get in on the action too. Go to the next slide, say goodbye to the stars. So this is a bit of a preview as well, because I know you'll hear more later from Bestwell about Flywire, but I wanted to just specifically highlight the impact in Oregon. and thought maybe a quick refresher would be helpful. So Flywire is a service that allowed account holders to directly transfer funds from their college savings accounts to a participating institution, as opposed to making withdrawal and writing a check and having that processing time, you know, sort of be a hurdle for folks. So Flywire is a helpful innovation for our account holders for sure. And Ashley did some analysis to look at what the impact specifically in Oregon is, as a sort of proportion of the impact that Flywire is having nationally and internationally. So the formatting got a bit off here, but I can basically just say that Oregon schools represent about 5% of participating institutions, but received 28% of the payments that came via Flywire. So long story short, there is we're disproportionately benefiting from the service here in Oregon at this time. But this slide also sort of highlights the opportunity that lays ahead. We have more than 10 institutions in Oregon, so there's more institutions we want to bring on board so that the folks can benefit whatever school they're going to. And then make sure that to the extent people are going to one of these participating institutions that our account holders know of the opportunity and are utilizing it. You know, it's an efficiency deal, but there are also situations where, you know, it can be the difference between a payment getting it on time or not. So, again, Doug may have more details to fill in on this later, but.
Should we save questions on this for him, or do you want questions?
I'm happy to try. I may throw them towards the sale.
I mean, the one is if they're, how new is this? Are we expecting continued ramp up in levels of participation and so on? 10 Oregon schools received funds via Flywire. Presumably there are more than 10 that are not only in Oregon, but are eligible to receive and fully participating in Flywire, just not used yet. Is that right?
My understanding is any institution that is a FAFSA eligible institution could be set up with Flywire.
Right. Could be, but some of them haven't done so. Okay.
The understanding is that it's just a matter of the process being set up. So literally connecting with the right person at the institution and making sure the banking information is shared so that the transactions can go. And it is relatively new, so that is just still underway to try to bring more institutions on board.
We'd love to hear more about that when you're up. So can just so I understand the numbers, can you walk us through the ones that got a little funky in the formatting?
Yeah, and I may even invite Ashley to yourself.
Please.
I'll take an initial stab and actually can correct if I get it wrong. So the nearly 15 million is the top left number.
Yep.
That's the total amount of payments that happened via Flywire in 2023.
Okay.
The 4.2 million is the total number of payments that happened to Oregon schools during that same time period.
Oh, okay.
So that's where you get the 28% number.
Okay.
So Oregon schools received clearly a disproportionate chunk of
so we got a large chunk of all of Flywire's business in 2023 then.
Yeah.
Four of the 14. Ah, okay. Okay, got it. Thank you. And then the 58 and 19? Those are cents connected to the other number. Okay, I thought they were separate numbers. Now I got it. Thank you.
Oh yeah.
That took care of a lot of my confusion. Okay. Okay.
He has broken that, so it's like very clearly being
good
taken up more of transactions each month, and it's only been there for about a year.
Okay. Great.
Does that compare? That's so 72% go out of Oregon from Flywire. Is that comparative to all funds? Just like, is that how students are spending their money, Oregon versus out of Oregon?
Yeah.
For all accounts?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Yes.
Flywire.
You see 10 to date. So I'm able to capture the 30 uniforms, the 30 schools. Might be receiving funds. Okay. Flywire, you have to then take a direction or from your account and then
Yes.
direct the deposit, so we don't have any insight into where those things.
But it makes, like I did for my daughter, it makes you like have to list the school. I would be actually very curious where students are then attending when their parents have planned their savings over the years. Because otherwise, how do we know that it goes to a college account, which I thought is how it has to be connected?
Well, your daughter's.
Institution goes into, generally speaking, not necessarily Flywire.
Sounds like someone may be able to
Okay, yes.
speak to this. They come up and, yeah, I was gonna try to speculate on the spot, which I probably should do, but.
We do have that data.
Because you're really getting at just setting Flywire aside, what is the rate of
Yes.
where are the funds going?
Yes. And then I'd love to even know further, like, is it private, public, community college, trade, you know, because we're trying to promote all those things. It would be fascinating to know where.
Yep. And I think the other part of the question that I took from your first version of it was, is Flywire following the trends that are more broadly applicable?
Yeah.
Is there more out of state, more something different within the Flywire world than the others?